I'm Ken Hemmings, and he is Chris Lang, and welcome to another of these regular property briefings. Again, a warm welcome to you, Chris.
Well, it's good to be with you again.
From what I've been able to glean during our interviews, it's fair to say that you advise your clients to be investors rather than speculators when it comes to commercial property. Therefore, would you mind outlining some of the key principles you recommend they adopt?
Look, there are five or six key pillars on which I would recommend you build your commercial property investment portfolio. And I can be quite succinct on those. But the first one, and I believe the underlying one, is to ensure that your principal is safe. In other words, your initial equity. I mean, don't allow yourself to become mesmerized by the return on your capital and totally forget about the return of your capital. And that's the fundamental thing. I mean, if the worst thing happens, you need to be able to have, or be absolutely sure, that you will have your initial capital investment return. And so, as I said, you just don't get fixated on the yield and the speculative capital growth if there is a very good chance that the downside is that you could, if not lose all your initial equity, lose a large proportion of it. So that's your fundamental underlying pillar, is that you want to know that principal investment, the initial equity, is actually safe.
That certainly makes sense. And yet, there are clearly advantages in borrowing when you purchase a commercial property. How would you suggest our listeners approach that?
There's no doubt that by borrowing, you can improve your return. But the secret is in controlling your liabilities. And, you know, most people think about that as the outgoings on the building. But your first outgoing for you personally is the interest. Now, in the current market particularly, I would be looking to fix my interest rate. Now, it may cost you an extra 0.5%, but the benefit, the upside, is that you get to sleep at night. And the other thing is that you really, as far as possible, should avoid having to give personal guarantees. Now, if you're going to borrow 70% in a commercial property, you will have to give a personal guarantee. Now, you used to be able to get what's called non-recourse finance at 65%, with the banks and APRA hovering in the background, that's been reduced to 60%. So in other words, the property provides the standalone security for the loan. There's no requirement for any additional personal guarantees. So those are the two things I would look at before you even start looking at building outgoings, is to get control of your interest rate and also not have to provide additional personal guarantees to substantiate the loan or the mortgage.
So, what's the next success pillar?
Well, the third pillar is that you should always be seeking to add value. I mean, simply buying a property at market value and sitting on it, all that means is you've got to wait for increases in rent, maybe a firming in the yield, so that you can, through inflation, get some growth. In other words, you don't want to be just an accumulator of property. You want to buy property that you can creatively add value to. In other words, get what I term super growth. So, yes, you'll get market growth, as you should over time, but you want to get something over and above that. And that doesn't mean taking risks. It just means being clever. And so, as I said, that third pillar is looking for a property where you can add value. We've discussed this in previous podcasts, that you can add value through change of use, you can add value by tricking up the property. There are all sorts of things that you can do that don't necessarily cost a lot of money. Just subdividing a larger property into smaller components so that it becomes more marketable when the time comes to sell.
In an earlier podcast, you cover the need for a mandatory 4-year review. Presumably that fits in here somewhere?
Well, really, property, in particular commercial property, is a long-term investment. And it's been said that almost every millionaire makes their money in the business, either through their own business or working for someone else, but they preserve and grow their wealth through investing in commercial property. Sure, I say you need a 4-year review, but that doesn't mean you necessarily sell the property. It's a discipline. It means that every 4 years, you force yourself to decide whether or not you should continue to hold the property. And if you can't mount a strong case as to why you should hold it, it should be sold. Now, there are a number of things that come into play there. You know, where you are in the cycle, what's happening with the economy, whether a lease has just been renewed. It may well have been someone's exercised a 5-year option and you feel that you're getting pretty close to the top of the cycle. Well, the best time to sell it is at the beginning of a new 5-year lease because the upside for the next purchaser is all blue sky. And sometimes the blue sky is worth more than the actual reality. So, look, the best properties are held for 10 years or more. And the reason you do that is that you can refinance them, extract some equity, and then go and buy another property and further build your portfolio. So, you know, the secret is to, you know, if you suspect there's going to be a peak in 3 years' time, you buy a property that has a 7 to 10 year lease so that it will straddle that period. You know, the market might come off, but you know you've got a solid tenant, a good property, and you can carry yourself through past and ready for the next upswing when the lease expires in 7 to 10 years' time, and then you renew it, and then you can make a decision at that point. Is it right to now sell the property because, again, you're in the upswing of the market cycle?
I imagine after a few successes, some investors may become a little cocky.
Yeah, look, I've seen that happen all the time. That, yes, they have a couple of successes and they just start to believe the headlines, you know. I mean, the secret is never become complacent. Remember, it only takes one mishap to go broke. Always keep your eye on the market and always keep your property in ready-to-sell condition. In other words, if when you buy the property there is the opportunity to subdivide it, in other words, it might be several floors in a 2 or 3 or 4 story building, you can create separate title for each floor, or, as I've done with a number of clients, even with a single floor strata title, you can further subdivide that into 2 or maybe 3 smaller titles. Now, if you can do that, if the potential is there to do that, you embark upon that the day you settle, because that can take 6 to 9 months, depending on how busy the titles office is. The drawing of the subdivision plans are easy. It's the red tape in just getting them approved. It's not an expensive process, but it's time-consuming. So the time to do it is when you've got time on your hand. So just never sit back and say, well, I can always do that down the track. The problem is that circumstances change. You might find yourself needing to sell but not having it in the form that you need. And so, you know, it's important that you do that, as I said, straight after settlement. Now, while it's relatively expensive, the process is time-consuming and it's best done when you're not in a hurry, so that then when you get to your 4-year review, you'll have all your options and all your alternatives available for you at your fingertips. So, as I said, never take anything for granted.
Is there anything else you recommend as one of your success pillars?
Yeah, well, probably the final one, which a lot of people just overlook, and I don't understand it. You need to remember that your tenants are your partners. and always be responsive to their needs. And that doesn't mean pandering to them. It doesn't mean necessarily personally getting involved, because you should have a managing agent, but you pick the managing agent who is tenant responsive and try and anticipate their needs whenever you set out to add value. You know, as in earlier podcasts, we've talked about ways of adding value. You know, if you know there's a rent review coming up in 12 months' time and there's something that needs to be done to the property, something probably quite superficial, not costing a lot, do it at least 12 months out so the tenant is in a good mood. They see you as the landlord, as someone who cares about the property and cares about them. You've got to remember that without your tenants, you can't pay your interest bill. And as I said, that doesn't mean that you have to become their best pal. You simply ensure that you and your property manager give their requests prompt attention. If there's some repairs to be done, get them done immediately. And likewise, your tradespeople, you've got to make sure you look after them. If it's a tradesperson has done some work, you just make sure that your managing agent pays them promptly, because they remember if they don't get paid by a particular landlord. And the thing is that sometimes you need some emergency work done. If they know they get paid immediately, as soon as they complete the job, they will respond to you. So, as I said, your tenants and your tradespeople, the ones that most people just ignore and overlook, are actually fundamental to your success.
You know, I really enjoy today because it's tied together a number of fundamental issues, and I'm sure everyone appreciates that.
Well, it's often good to step back and take a helicopter view of what being a success at commercial property investing actually entails. So if what we covered today has been helpful, well, that's great.